we continue our series that we started, The Greatest Investment. What is the greatest investment? Well, the greatest investment is what God is invested in. And what God is invested in is his own glory. And the way that he invests in his own glory is by continually seeing his name, the truth of the gospel, continue to go forth all around the world. And he chooses to do that through his people. What he desires to do is that he desires to use us, his people, to continue to see his truth go forth. And as we've been going through this series, we've been talking about different topics. In the first few weeks, we talked about what is this great investment, and what's I can't read that. What's your part? Yes, what's your part in this great investment? And again, it's God's glory, and the way that we become a part of what God is doing is by being involved in this work of restoring the world to the Lord, and that's through the gospel. That's us spreading the gospel to the people around the world. Now, there are some things that we need to consider in this investment. And last week, I wasn't here because I was sick. And thankfully, it wasn't COVID. I got a test done and I was able to recover and I'm back here again. But I wanted to talk about this idea called worldviews and how we need to be open to learning about these different ways that people think and the ways that people understand the world. And thankfully, during our Sunday school class after the service, we were able to talk about that. But also, thankfully, Pastor Peter Wong, he came and spoke about how we need to watch out and be alert about the end of the world that's coming. And we need to be aware that Jesus Christ, he is coming soon. And he shared a verse at one point where he said, you know, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel will go forth to the ends of the world, and then the end will come. And so it actually fits perfectly with what we're talking about. There is an urgency that we need to be mindful of, that we do need to continue to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, because as we do that, we can also anticipate the return of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to be talking about something called incarnational ministry, and how we need to be open for change for the sake of the gospel. And then in the weeks to come, we're also going to be talking about testimonies of this great investment and also strategies for this investment. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in this sermon series. And today's sermon title is called Becoming 150%. And I'll explain what that means. Let's look to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And if you did get a chance to grab this Bible from the outside, I'll tell you in a moment which page you can turn to. But if you do have your Bibles, I encourage you to open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And we'll be looking at page 980. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5 all the way to verse 11. This is the reading of God's word. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I have a fun question for us today. Do you like trying new foods? Do you like trying new foods? Okay, so some of us, we're not from Taiwan, and we're here in Taiwan. And some of the new foods that I think some of us need to try are things like, for example, durian, things like stinky tofu. Some people are clapping for durian. There are some real big fans of durian. Stinky tofu, right? Some people are like, yeah, stinky tofu. Some things that you still need to try, of course, are the tea drinks, the different kinds of tea drinks. There's something called tiguacho, and there's one, it's a sweet potato balls that they also sell near here in the Gongguan night market. And I would say that that particular sweet potato ball is the best sweet potato ball out of all other sweet potato balls in Taiwan. I'm not here to advertise for them. The reason why we're talking about this is because when you get into a new situation and there are things that you're not used to, there may be new things, new circumstances, things in your life that causes you to have to change, to have to adapt. And when we're changing, when we have to change, it can be a little bit scary. Some of us, we don't like to change. Some of us, we want it to stay the way we are. We want things to be normal. Especially with COVID, things have changed quite a bit. And we want things to go back to normal. But actually, there are times that the Bible encourages us to change and adapt for the sake of the gospel. Again, there are times that the Bible encourages us to change and adapt for the sake of the gospel. And so our main idea for today is to adapt for the sake of the gospel. And the three ideas that we want to go through today are, number one, Christ's adaptation, 200%. We'll get to that. Number two, our adaptation, 150%. And number three, for the sake of the gospel. Okay, again, our main idea for today is to adapt for the sake of the gospel. And our three ideas that we'll be talking through are, number one, Christ's adaptation. Number two, our adaptation. And number three, for the sake of the gospel. Let's talk about this first point, Christ's adaptation. Now, if you guys have been a part of our church for a while, you guys know my normal pattern. I usually bring up Jesus Christ in every single sermon, and I'll usually bring him up last. But today, I'm going to bring him up first. And we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ first because he is the one that shows us, and maybe adaptation is not the right word to use, but he shows us how he was willing to change for the sake of the gospel. Now, this idea of how Jesus Christ changed is a mysterious idea. Usually in theology, we call this word the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the incarnation. And we're talking about how God became man. This is a mysterious idea, and it's difficult to understand at times. But in today's passage, this is the main idea that's being talked about how Jesus Christ changed, how he became a human being. And so let's talk about that a little bit. Our passage, that's what it's all about. And you could follow along in your Bible. I'm not going to have the verses on the screen here. But let's start from the beginning. It says in verse 5, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Have this mindset. What is this mindset? The mindset is what Jesus Christ demonstrated and what we're also able to receive because of Jesus Christ. So what is this mindset all about? What is this mindset all about? Verse 6 says, who, talking about Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God. Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. He was in the form of God. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity. Jesus Christ is God who existed through all eternity. Even before anything was created in this world, Jesus Christ already existed. And as God, Jesus Christ received all the glory and all the honor. All the angels were praising him. He was there in all glory and honor, in all his majesty. He had all the respect, all the power, all the beauty. Jesus Christ had everything. He had the fellowship of the Trinity there. He lacked nothing. He had everything. And he, more than a king, more than an emperor, had all the glory and all the honor, all the splendor, anything that we understand as beauty, that's who Jesus is. Anything that we see in this world as something to be praised and honored, that's what Jesus had. Jesus had it all. Jesus is God. He's 100% God. And it says here, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So what does that mean? It means that he became a human being. And as a human being, he did not try to go back and receive all that glory again, to receive all the respect again. He did not look at these things, all the comfort of being in fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He did not try to grasp all those things. He did not try to grasp the power that he had as God and continue to fill his stomach and continue to give himself the strength and power throughout his life. He didn't do any of that stuff. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but what did he do? In verse 7 and 8, it says this, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He became a human being. In verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ was willing to go through this change of emptying himself, of humbling himself. Now, let me be clear. What it does not mean is that Jesus gave up being God and became a human being. That's not what it means. Jesus, when he came to the earth, he was still God. But what it means by emptying himself and humbling himself is that he chose not to use his godness, not to use his God power, but he was willing to set that aside and live as a human being, 100% human being. This is the mystery of the incarnation, which is that when we usually talk about the Trinity, and this part might be a little bit confusing still, so just listen and try to see this picture. With the Trinity, what we have is one God with three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But the mystery of the incarnation, the mystery of Jesus Christ becoming a human being, is that he was one person, but he was also God and human being at the same time. 100% God, 100% human being, 200% person. Okay, that's a kind of a funny way of saying it. It doesn't mean that he had two parts and just boom like this, but what it means is that Jesus Christ, one person, fully was God and fully was man. But we're using this number 200% just to help us understand this idea of incarnation. And it'll become a little bit more clear as we get to our second point. Once again, Jesus Christ, what he ended up doing was that he ended up being willing not to use his God power, and he was willing to go through everything that a human being goes through. He left that place of splendor and honor and glory. He left that place of comfort and peace. He left that place and came to the earth. He humbled himself. Imagine God Almighty becoming a tiny little fetus in Mary's womb. Imagine all the power to be able to control everything and not have to fear anything, but humbling himself to the point of being a tiny little baby where he had to be cared for and he would face all kinds of dangers if he wasn't cared for. He was giving his life completely into the hands of his parents. He had to learn how to grow up. He had to learn how to adapt and change as he grew up. He He learned knowledge just as a human being does. He went through all kinds of struggles and pains. He experienced hunger. He experienced tiredness. He experienced all these difficulties. Jesus Christ not only went through these difficulties, but he also experienced temptation. The Bible talks about how Jesus was tempted by Satan. And so because he experienced temptation, the Bible also tells us that he's able to sympathize with you who face all kinds of trials and temptations. Because Jesus Christ went through that. Jesus Christ emptied himself and did not use his God power to overcome things like hunger and tiredness and things like that. He did not use his power when he was arrested to get rid of all these people. He did not use his godlike power to close the mouths of the people and say, you're not going to talk right now, when he was being ridiculed, when he was being mocked. He did not use his God power during those times. And he was willing as a human being to be humbled, even to the point of letting his creation crucify him. Jesus Christ emptied himself and humbled himself and experienced all that. Why? Well, if we keep on reading in this passage, it says, I'll start off in verse 8 and we'll read to the very end. It says, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Isn't this what we've been talking about throughout this series? God, his great investment is in his own glory. God wants to see his glory be made known all throughout the earth, his glory to be spread all throughout the earth. And Jesus Christ, when he came to the earth, what was his goal? His goal also was to bring glory to the Father. And the way that he would do that, though, would be through emptying himself, humbling himself, becoming a human being, experiencing all that we experience so that he can be the perfect representative for humankind to save humanity, to save all those that will put their trust in Jesus Christ. This is what we call the incarnation of the second person of Jesus Christ, of the second person of the Trinity. Now, why is this important? Why does this passage even talk about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ, God, became man? Why does it even talk about it? Well, we read it in verse 5. It says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." Have this mindset of, even though this is who you are, to be willing to give up who you are for the sake of God's glory, for the sake of the gospel. And that's where we come to our second point. Our adaptation. Our change. This idea of incarnational ministry is this. This is something that Jesus Christ demonstrated, the incarnation. And God calls us, as this passage calls us to do, calls us to be involved in this incarnational ministry. What does this mean? What it means is, I kind of use the numbers and it may not fit perfectly, but it helps to give an idea of what we're talking about here. Okay, so I'm 100% of who I am, with all of my history, with all of my background, with my face, how I look, with my blood and my heritage, with my experiences in America. I'm a Korean by descent, and I was born and grew up in America. And so I am 100% Korean American, born and raised in LA County, and in Southern California, and I have a younger brother and a younger sister, and my parents who worked in a dry cleaning store for a long, long time, and they suffered and labored through all that, even through hot summers that were up to, in Celsius, it would be like 40-some degrees, and they worked and worked and worked, and that's all my background. And there's a lot more to my background, but that's who I am. But when I go to share the gospel, when I go to share what is true to other people out there, I'm not that person. And so that's why there's a 0%. I'm not that person. As I go to them, I don't identify with that person in any way. But as I do go, I begin to learn about that person. And not only do I begin to learn, as I learn and I begin to appreciate who that person is, I start to become a little bit like them. It's like when friends come together, even though friends, when they first meet, they don't know anything about each other. But then the more they spend time with each other, the more they get to know each other, and the more they become more like each other. It's like what we hear about married couples. Married couples, you know, they look completely different. And so, like, I would hear when I was getting married, oh, pastors get married to the most beautiful ladies. But, pastor, you're so lucky. Meaning, like, I'm not that good looking, but Polly, my wife, is very good looking, right? But what people say about married couples is that the longer that they're married to each other, the more and more they look like each other, right? So that must mean that I'm becoming more and more good looking. Not the other way around, right? And so we become more and more like those other people, or those people that we're reaching out to, but we will never be completely accepted as one of them. And so we can only become 75%, not 100%, right? But then as I learn and begin to appreciate those people, and we could talk about it in terms of culture. We could talk about it in terms of a person's background, their history. We could talk about it in all of these different terms about how we're learning about them and what we're appreciating about them. As we do that, what ends up happening is that who you are slowly becomes who you were. And so you're not that 100% person anymore, but you start to lose a little bit of who you were. But that's okay. That's not necessarily a bad thing. You begin to lose who you are, and you begin to empty yourself and humble yourself as you learn about the other person. And so you become 75% of who you are, and you become 75% of who you are appreciating and who you're learning about. And so we become 150%. Now, that's all a long way of saying basically what God is calling us to do is to empty ourselves, is to deny ourselves, so that we can go out and share the gospel with people in a way that they can understand, in a way where they trust you, where they are willing to hear what you believe in, what you trust in. And so we are willing to give up ourselves and not be so prideful about who we are, but really put a lot of focus on who the other person is. And in the passage today, this passage tells us that's exactly what we should do, starting with within the church. We need to really focus on loving one another and growing closer to each other. And what ends up happening is that we become more and more like Christ together. But the path to that is we learn about each other. We appreciate each other. And we want to take the same idea to the world. We want to learn about other cultures. We want to learn their languages. We want to be willing to give up. Like me, I rarely talk about my Korean side, but I love learning about different languages that you guys speak. I love saying hello to you guys in your language. I love to learn. If I don't know your language, please come and share with me how to say hello and thank you. And this is the way. Just a small, small step, a first step maybe, but this is a way that we continue to grow closer to the people that we want to share the gospel with. Now, the ways that we want to do that, as I've been mentioning, is we want to be willing to learn about the other person. So how do you do that? You ask questions. Some people just like to ask questions. They just want to ask a bunch of questions. And that's okay, but give them time to actually answer. and hear who they are. Hear what they're about. Hear about their culture. Hear about their background. Hear about their story. I remember some people in my past, they used to go around there and they used to say, "Tell me your life story." And that's kind of a big question, but you know, they would say, "Well, you know, there might not be enough time right now, but then let's find a time to sit down and I would love to hear about your story." You know, we can ask questions and learn about each other. The second thing is that maybe we can begin to appreciate who they are, why they believe what they believe, understand where they're coming from. And what that means is that it might even mean to try things out, to try and see why they enjoy what they enjoy. Of course, we want to be careful about this idea of trying things out because we want to make sure that we're not going against God's word as we try things out. You know, like if a person is like, you know, "Get drunk with me." Of course, we're not going to go, "Yeah, I'm learning to appreciate you." We don't want to do that. But we want to learn to appreciate and try things out. Try these new foods. You know, I'm still in the process of learning to appreciate stinky tofu. I'm still in the process. I'm not quite there yet, but try it out. Learn and begin to appreciate. And then take on the role of a leader. I had these pictures that I wanted to show with you guys. Learn about them. Learn about what's going on with their clothing and their makeup and things like that. Second thing is appreciate. Just go and try out their foods. Invite them over to your house and ask them to bring something. Or you go to their house and you eat what they're eating. Another thing is learn to take on the role of a learner and not a teacher. You know, some people, they love to go and whenever they have a conversation with someone, what they want to do all the time is like just tell you about why something is so important. And they're just going around teaching all their knowledge. They're just talking about themselves and what they know. But then when we want to go and do incarnational ministry and become 150%, the position that we want to take is more of a going and learning about those people, learning about a person like your coworker, going and hearing about who they are. Another thing that we want to do is we want to take on the role of a trader, not a seller. And what that means is that I'm going to go and I'm not going to try to make you buy into what I believe. But, you know, as I share with you things about who I am and what I believe in, I also want to hear about what you believe in. I also want to hear about what you trust in. I also want to hear about the things that works for you and those things that don't want to work for you. And be a trader, not just a seller. And the last thing here is take on the role of being a storyteller and not an accuser. So, you know, sometimes when we take the gospel to people, we want to say, "Look at these are all the things that you're doing wrong. Repent of your sins." You know, and we're saying, "This is what God's law says. And so that's why you're such a wrong person and you're such a bad person. And I'm a bad person too. So let's repent together." And it just comes off as like accusing people. But rather than that, it's true that they have sin. It's true that we need to look to God's word. But taking on the form of being a storyteller, or taking on the role of being a storyteller, actually helps. And if you're sharing your story, or if you're sharing the story of your friends, or about how things are at your church, if you're sharing with them and you're also willing to hear about their stories, it's a great way to make connections with people. Now, I want to ask, as we think about these things, and we're talking about like being involved in God's greatest, in his investment, in God's glory. God calls us to be involved in going out and sharing the gospel with others out there. If this is not on your mind, then I want you to know this is what God desires for us. And so that his glory would be made known in your families, in your workplaces, in your neighborhood. This is what God desires of us, for us to do. And so I want to ask a couple questions, like, If our church is an English-speaking international church, and our vision is to reach out to the international community, then how can we as a church do that? I don't have all the answers. Maybe some of you guys have some really good answers on how we could do this. Maybe you have some ideas. I would love to talk and share and keep talking together as a church about how we can reach out to the international community here in Taipei. Where do the foreigners hang out? What are the things that people struggle with? Why are they here in Taipei? What are their dreams? How are they dealing with COVID? These are some of the questions that we could be asking ourselves and asking people out there. This is what God desires of us, to go and learn and take on that role of being a storyteller and also a trader and also just being a learner, so that the gospel can continue to go forth. And especially with COVID, a lot of people are online and they're afraid of each other. They're afraid of people that don't have their masks on, or as soon as people cough, everyone's like, ooh. What God calls us to do is not to be the people that are afraid running away from others, but to actually be the ones to say, no, I still care about you. I still want to hear what you're going through. I'm not going to run away from you. I actually want to get to know you. That's what God desires of us. And so how can we reach this international community? How can you go out and reach the international community? How can you go out and be a learner of the people that you work with, of the people that are in your neighborhood, of people that may have a different culture than you? How can we begin to do that? Now, as we talk about these things, what it means is that we will probably need to change and adjust for the sake of the gospel, just like Jesus Christ. Of course, it's a little bit different, but as much as we're able to become 150%, to learn more about that person and to lose a bit of ourselves for the sake of the gospel. As we think about this idea of changing, for some of us, it's really difficult. It's a very, very hard thing to adjust to new situations or to take on that place of approaching someone and learning about them. Why? Because sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid of getting hurt by those people. Or maybe it's just not convenient. It's not convenient for me to actually take those certain steps to go and have a meal with someone and to learn about them. I would rather just go home and do the same thing that I do every single day, which is just go home and eat my meal and watch TV. It's just not convenient to make this kind of change. Some of us, we struggle with change because it's going to cause us to have to do things a little bit differently. And we may not feel comfortable about that. But what's the result of that? The result is that God's glory is not being spread. The result of that is that people aren't hearing about Jesus Christ. The result of that is actually we end up sinning against our God, because what we end up doing is that instead of saying, God, I'm willing to give up things, I'm willing to empty myself, instead of saying that, what we're saying is, no, I want to hold on to these things that I have. I want to hold on to my convenience. I want to hold on to the comfort that I have in doing things the same way that I've been always doing them. I want to hold on to protecting myself so that I don't have to get into a situation where I fear, where I get hurt again. I want to hold on to these things. And God, I don't want to do what you're calling me to do. I'm going to hold on to these things because I think I'm able to bring myself the convenience and the protection and the safety that I'm looking for. I don't need you, Jesus. I'm going to do this myself. I don't want to do things your way. I don't want to live for your kingdom. I just want to do things my way and live for my own glory. We come to our third point. The reason why God calls us to do this, to give up ourselves, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Jesus, the reason why God calls us to this is because that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. We want to remember Jesus, how Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, giving up all his splendor and glory, and he was willing to empty himself and humble himself and becoming a human being. It's like a human being becoming a little ant. For human beings, we just go squish and the ant is gone. But that's how much Jesus was willing to empty himself and put himself in a position of potential danger, of potential harm, of discomfort. He was willing to do all these things for God's glory. But what that means is that he was doing it for God's glory, because God is glorified as he demonstrates who he is, as he demonstrates his love for his people. Jesus was willing to do this to demonstrate his love for you. John 3:16, we all know this passage very well. For God so loved this world, the world, his people that he will die for. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus was willing to come and empty himself so that you would know God's love. Another passage, Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, still saying, God, I'm going to figure out my own comfort. God, I'm going to figure out my own protection. I'm going to figure things out and I'm going to live for myself. While we were still sinning against God in this way, God showed his love to us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And so Jesus calls his people, calling the crowd to him with his disciples. He said to them, if anyone would come after me, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And this may be difficult, but here's the thing. The reason why it's difficult is, like we said earlier, is because we're trying to find our own convenience and comfort and rest and our own protection ourselves. But when Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, and he sent his Holy Spirit to us, what God demonstrated was that God is going to do everything. Jesus was willing to give up everything so that you would be restored to our Father, so that you would be able to have a relationship with God, so that you can experience his comfort, his rest, his protection, his provision. God is the powerful God that's giving you everything that you're looking for. God will give you everything. And if that's the case, then any kind of change, any kind of thing, any kind of way that we need to adjust will not be a scary thing. Rather, what it says is that in Romans 8:37, it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're able to adjust and change through all the trials and tribulations that we might face. Because in Jesus, who loved us, we have everything that we need, and we are more than conquerors. Paul also has the same idea. He says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like Jesus in his death. Paul is saying, I want to continue to understand and grow and be like Jesus Christ, knowing his resurrection, holding on to that idea, but also being willing to share with any kind of suffering that I might end up going through for the sake of the gospel, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And he goes on with the same mentality, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. You see, The reason why we want to continue on and press on, the reason why we're willing to change, and the reason why we're willing to go through all these difficulties, it's because Jesus Christ, God, has already made me His own. I am His child. I am under His protection. He's going to give me all that I need. And even at times when I feel like I don't have everything that I need, He is giving me all that I need for that particular situation. And so if God has given me all that I need, if I am already belonging to Christ, there's nothing to fear in terms of change. Then the person that I changed into, the person that I become, is a person that's a lot less about who I am and a lot more caring and a lot more considerate, a person that's more thinking about the other person and really wanting to find out about that other person. Isn't that the kind of person that we want to have in our midst? Well, for us Christians, that person is Jesus. We have it. So then we're free to begin to be that person for other people, to learn about them, to appreciate them, to become 150%. And so I just put this on the screen once more just to share with you guys that this is what God is calling us to become like Christ, to live out this incarnational ministry, to learn and appreciate other people so it's for the sake of the gospel. And that leads to God being glorified. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You so much that You are God who is great and mighty and powerful. And I praise You and I thank You for these things because, Lord, that's who You are to us. Because of Jesus Christ, we're able to have this relationship with You, and You're able to give us all that we need, all that is good. And so, Lord, with this wonderful truth of how we have been reconciled back to You, of how because of this relationship that we have with You, Lord, cause us to be strengthened and encouraged to go out and be that person for other people, learning about who they are, appreciating their background and who they are, and Lord, so that we can communicate Your gospel to them. I pray this for Your glory, Lord, in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we sing this song, just to reflect on the sermon and just to say a prayer to the Lord. Maybe your prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. Maybe your prayer is a prayer of, God, thank You for how You've provided for me everything that I'm looking for. Maybe your prayer is, God, help me to know how to go out and share Your gospel with others. Maybe your prayer is a prayer for your coworkers or for your family members or for your neighbors who don't know Jesus Christ. Whatever your prayer might be, take this time to pray as the worship team sings this song. And when you're ready, you can stand up or you can just sit there and you can sing along with this song. But take this time to just be seated and just take this time to pray. Let's do that now.